This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. This summer has brought intense heat to much of the Northern Hemisphere and severe wildfires, not only to the American West, but to places like Sweden. Heat waves, droughts, and wildfires, these are all events that climate scientists say are becoming more frequent and severe as a result of human-caused global warming. But we also know that warming doesn't affect the whole globe evenly. The Arctic is warming at least twice as fast as the rest of the planet. And that extreme warming may be a major factor in our changing weather right here in New England. Jennifer Francis is a research professor in the Department of Marine and Coastal Sciences at Rutgers University, and she has pioneered the science linking Arctic change to shifting weather patterns in North America. Jennifer, good to have you back on the show.
Great to be here.
These heat waves have been attributed in large part to a stalled jet stream. What does that actually mean?
Well, there's actually two effects that are going on this summer, and we've seen both of these happening more often just in the last couple decades. And you're right, the jet stream has stalled in a sense, and what that means is that the big north-south swings in the jet streams is actually the thing that stalled. So the winds of the jet stream are still blowing, but it's these big waves that are basically stuck in place. And the reason that's important is because it's those north-south waves in the jet stream that create the highs and lows that we see on a weather map. So when they get stuck in one place, it means that the weather systems they create are also stuck in place. So whatever you've got, whether it be dry, hot, wet, and even chilly, will stay in your location for a long time. So that's one of the effects that we're seeing happening all across Northern Hemisphere this summer. The other factor that is really an interesting aspect of new research that's come out of both Potsdam University and also Penn State is that we're also seeing a tendency for the jet stream to split in two over the continents during the summer. So one branch goes north along the coast of, say, the Arctic Ocean and the continent, and the other branch goes southward and tends to go across the middle of the continent.
Is that something we've ever seen before?
It does happen. It does happen, but it's been happening more often. And the reason that's important is because the weather patterns between the jets don't have anything to push them along. And so it's another factor that's causing our weather systems to become more stagnant and persistent.
How is that process or those processes of the jet stream kind of sitting in place and possibly the jet stream splitting, how is that connected to warming in the Arctic?
So this is also brand new research and really is still, I'd say, in the hypothesis phase right now. But what we're noticing is that during really late spring, early summer, the snow cover on high latitude land areas, so along the northern belt of North America and Eurasia, that snow is disappearing much earlier than it used to. In fact, the snow is disappearing even faster than the sea ice. And the reason that's important is because as we lose that snow cover earlier, during the time of the year when the sun is really strong, it hits the soil underneath earlier, which dries it out and warms it up. So this has two effects. One is that when we warm that land much earlier, it kind of gives summer a jump start. So we start heating up the continents earlier in the summer. The other factor is really interesting, and that is the connection to the split jets. So if you can imagine walking northward along North America during summer, you'd expect it to get colder and colder as you head north. But because we're warming this belt of land along the northern tier of the continents, instead what we're finding is it starts getting cooler, but then you hit that belt and it actually starts getting warmer again. And then as you continue north, it gets colder. So we've got this double dip in the south to north temperature pattern. And what that does is it tends to create this split jet through changes in the temperatures at the surface.
How does that then translate into weather effects further afield? I mean, if you've got warmer, drier soil in the Arctic, that would obviously help explain some of the really unprecedented wildfires that we've seen in the Arctic this summer and in recent years. But how does that start to explain a heat wave in Europe or in, you know, the American Midwest or wherever?
Right. So if we go back to what I was describing earlier about the waves in the jet stream, so those waves, again, whether it's in the northern branch or the southern branch of the split, are what create the weather conditions in any given place. So it just so happens that there's a big northward swing in the jet, both over the western part of North America and over the western part of Europe. And that's where we're seeing these big heat waves and forest fires and things like that. So that is being held in place and being very persistent because of this combination of big waves and the split jets.
This all comes back to the fact that the Arctic is warming so much more rapidly than the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. But why? Why is the Arctic warming so much more dramatically?
There's several processes that happen in the Arctic that don't happen elsewhere that cause this extra warming. The easiest one to explain and to visualize is that we are warming the globe as a whole, and that melts some of the ice that's floating on the Arctic Ocean, some of that sea ice. And we know that that ice is very bright and white, and so it reflects most of the sun's energy that hits it. So as we lose some ice, that energy where the ice used to be is now instead getting absorbed into the underlying ocean. So that then warms that water near the ice, melts more ice. So it starts up this vicious cycle of warming and melting that leads to extra warming happening up in the areas where there's sea ice.
And then you said actually that the snowpack in parts of the terrestrial Arctic we're actually seeing faster melting there than we are with the sea ice. And presumably a similar thing happens. There's dark ground underneath that white snow and you get the same sort of warming feedback there.
Absolutely. And because that snow is melting in the spring when the sun is so strong, it's a very strong, what we call a feedback process. So it is definitely happening over the land areas in the spring also.
Is there anything comparable at the other end of the planet with Antarctica? Are we also seeing accelerated warming there?
Not so much, interestingly. And the reason is because the sea ice that forms around Antarctica, and remember, Antarctica is a continent while the Arctic is an ocean. Antarctica forms sea ice around it every winter. And then as the melt season begins in the spring, that ice melts all the way back to the coastline pretty much every summer. So there's really no opportunity for this process to occur because once the ice is gone, it's gone. And the ice that's sitting on top of Antarctica, which is a very, very thick ice cap, it would take a lot of warming to melt enough of it to initiate this process.
And actually expose any dark ground underneath it.
Exactly.
Does that then mean that weather in the Northern Hemisphere is changing more dramatically than in the Southern Hemisphere?
It is. We think this process that I've been describing is causing changes to happen much more readily in the Northern Hemisphere. There are other things happening in the Southern Hemisphere as well, and it seems to be mostly driven by the expansion of the tropics. So as we're warming the globe as a whole, we're seeing basically the belt that's considered the tropics expanding towards the north and the south. And this is pretty much responsible for some of the big heat waves in Australia, some of the drought conditions in Argentina, and some of the sort of bizarre weather events that have been happening in the Southern Hemisphere.
But the Northern Hemisphere, we're sandwiched between the dramatically warming Arctic and the expanding tropics.
Yes.
So we've kind of got it coming from both sides.
Right. And so, you know, there's a lot of changes that are happening in the climate system simultaneously. And that's why isolating and attributing any one of these factors to some bizarre weather event is difficult because they're all happening at the same time in the real world. And it's really a challenge sometimes to say, well, how much of this weather event was caused by the Arctic, say, or by the expanding tropics. So this is where some of the most active research is happening.
That's Jennifer Francis of Rutgers University. Jennifer, thank you.
You're welcome.